Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, as we continue on, it is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. What does that mean to us? I want you to understand where I stand and where we should stand as a church. Every life, from the time of conception to the time of its last breath, is precious unto the Lord and precious unto us. There's no choice to be made except the choice was made when it was to have sexual relationships. That's when the choice was made. But there's not a choice when life takes place, okay? You say, what about this situation? There's no situation. Is God the author of all life? Every conception, there's no accidents. God, there's a purpose. That's where we stand as a church. That's where we stand on a biblical belief. Not my preference, God's Word. And that's where we stand. And so keep that in mind. 58 million babies have been aborted since the Roe v. Wade. 58 million. We're killing ourselves as a society. Something for us to think about, isn't it? What can we do? Be a voice for the voiceless. Turn, if you would, Romans chapter 8, Earnest Expectations is the title of our expectation of our lesson this morning. Earnest Expectation. Stand, if you would, to your feet as we honor the reading of God's Word. We'll be looking at Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 27. The Word of God says this, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time, sufferings of this present time are not worthy of, to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility," listen to my word, "futility, not willing, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with labor pains together until now. For not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption of the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. For the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for time together, as Donnie said. Not just words reading off a page, but the very words of God in worship. And so we're asking you, Father, be among us. I pray that my words are not the words of God, a man, but the words of God going forth, touching lives where they are. In Christ's name we ask it, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. It doesn't matter where you go in the world, where you travel, where the Lord might be able to take you, where you've been. There's suffering and heartache everywhere you go. Tragedy among people. The suffering bring deep groanings. We groan with suffering. Our world is in travail. It groans from the fallenness around. I was talking to some friends yesterday about the fallenness, that we live in a fallen world and we're fallen people. And so that fallenness catches up in many ways. Every sickness, all the death, everything that we see comes from fallenness. Suffering and groanings and disease and war and those about to die. And from the groaning, think about it, we start with groanings from your mother's birth. Many a mother has groaned as she's given birth to a child, to the groaning pains of death. There's groanings and suffering throughout our life. I want us to think about this morning, that there's a groaning that only the child of God can understand. And he's speaking about here this morning. Remember, as we finished up last week's lesson in verse 17, he says, "And the children, if then children, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together." Do you understand there's a groaning for the future glorification, to be in Christ with glory? There's a part of me that I cannot explain. There's a part that, since I've been saved, that I'm looking forward to a day. We sing about it, don't we? What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. We sing about it. Our hymns are about it. There's a part of us that groans and looks forward to the future. But right now, we live in a day of suffering because of sin. So I want us to think about the spiritual suffering that brings this deep inward groan as a Christian seeks to be delivered from sin. And Paul, you know, Paul understood this. Remember back in chapter 7 when he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." He understood that. Have you ever felt like that about yourself? I get so sick and tired of me. I heard John MacArthur made a statement about that there's a holy seed that lives within us, and I mentioned this Wednesday night, but it's surrounded by an unholy shell. I like that. It's surrounded by an unholy shell. I live in a fallen body. It will not be redeemed until the Lord comes to call us back, or I go to be with Him. That's when this body will be redeemed. And so I want us to look about, as we look in this picture or scripture, I want us to think about this idea of groaning, going from suffering to glory. And I want us to look at the first one, which is creation groans. Look at verses 18 through 22, and it gives us this personification of creation or nature. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which it will be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willing, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now." Paul begins verse 18 by saying, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." He said, nothing's going to compare what you go through, what you suffer, what you experience here doesn't even compare to the glory that is to come. It doesn't matter what we're facing. In fact, I heard one preacher say it's like comparing a thimble of water to the ocean. We can't grasp the greatness of one day when the fulfillment of when we go to be with the Lord or He comes back or when our bodies, listen, when our souls are reunited with our glorified bodies. Paul, he's grasping the glories to come, and he's saying, you know what? Paul could look at his own body and see beaten, and where he's been beaten, he could see where it had taken his toll on him. And he realized, you know what? Nothing compares. That's a good song, isn't it? Third day, nothing compares to the greatness of knowing you, Lord. And Paul, it was such a reality to him. It was such a concrete reality to him. That's the way he lived. And if we believe that, it would transform the way we live. Let's be honest. It would transform. You know why? Because we'd lift our eyes from the dust and dirt of earth and look up to heaven and realize, yes, the reality of it. We're here on earth, but one day our home will be in heaven if we're a child of God. Keeping our focus heavenward bound. You think about, he goes and he talks about the groaning for glory produces hope. This hope, and I'm not, I sure hope so. I sure hope the Tar Heels win the national championship. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, they beat up Florida State yesterday, right? I had to get that in somewhere, right? It's a great game. Especially since Duke lost. Sorry. But listen, it's not a hope. I sure hope the Cowboys win today. I mean, it's not this hope like that. It's this surety. And when we talk about hoping, he's talking about it produces this groaning for glory, this thing. We look for a future hope. It's a hope believing, having faith in things that we haven't seen. But we know that the promise of God tells us. We put that hope, we put our stock in believing that. And so he says it's the future glory that activates this groaning within us. There's a part of me that looks forward to being with Jesus. There's a part of me that looks forward to being with our loved ones, as I mentioned this morning. There's a part of me that looks, here's what I look the most to be away from this fallen flesh of mine. Myself and what I have to deal with and my own battles that I go through. I won't have to battle anymore in eternity with God. You know what? We'll all love each other the same. There's there's a love, and we can't grasp that. I'm telling you, my little mind is, I love this woman right here. And I talked about that last week, and she's the love of my life. And when I get to heaven, I thought, man, what? I'm going to love Lee like I love Sandy. It's like, wait a minute, something ain't right with that knife. But as, you know why? You know why? Because we can't grasp it, Lee. We just can't grasp it because we're just human and we're surrounded by fallenness. It's going to be a love so much greater, so much better, so much greater. I know. Why won't we get over that? Don't kiss you. But I want us to think about, listen, I'm an outside person. We went rabbit hunting yesterday, Jim and Cameron, and we went out and hunted the bunnies with Donnie, and I love, and hunted with Adam and Will last week, and I love getting outside. If I had my choice, we'd be outside all the time. I love the outside when it ain't raining, right? You're thinking, don't you? I remember last time you took us outside. Listen, I love outdoors. When I walked across the parking lot this morning, it was a little different. It was 5 degrees last Sunday, okay? I ran across the parking lot last Sunday. But I walked across the parking lot. The moon, which is about 3/4, was up over top of the ridge right here. And in between the clouds, and it was one of those moments where it's like, wow, and it's, what, 50 degrees? And so I'm just walking across there thinking, what a great God that we serve, and what a beautiful, beautiful place that we live here in Todd and these mountains. And you see that. But listen, creation has fallen. It's fallen. It's nothing compared to what's coming, okay? And so he talks about it. He says, and creation was cursed. It groans, he said. It was cursed along with man. Listen to Genesis 3:17. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. Thorns and thistles, the briar patches that we go through, it's because of the curse. I got my legs scratched up, man. Why? It's cursed. When man fell in the garden, it was perfect. Listen, they wasn't even mosquitoes. I hate mosquitoes. I hate ticks and mosquitoes. Something that's wanting to suck on your blood. I don't like things like that, right? Something that lives off of you, I don't like it. That didn't come. That wasn't here before the fall. The curse of man, when he fell, everything fell. Everything that you could think. So think about creation, it's cursed. Because of the world, or because of the fall, the world began to decay. It began to decay. Think of the most beautiful scenes of all creation that you've seen, and yet you can compare it to what? Earthquakes, tornadoes, storms, fires, floods. You see, our abuse speeds up the decay also. But I want you to understand, what does the evolutionist do with that? The second law of thermodynamics says that everything's going from order to disorder. It's winding down. Anybody that knows anything about energy knows that, guess what? When you expend energy, it winds down. It's called entropy. Listen. Our world is running out of gas, if you please, right? It's not going to. You ain't got to worry about that because God's in control. But what do you do with that if you think it's getting better and better? If you're an evolutionist, what do you do with that? When your own natural laws dispute it. It's not getting better. Hey, it's going to come to an end. And I want you to know that this world, as beautiful that it is, it's fallen. Every time you get bit by a mosquito, remind yourself, it's called a sin. I hate sin. Seriously. All these things, every time you go out in that garden, Billy, in this spring my garden will look so good. Look at it now. It don't look very good right now. Why? Because after a while, you let the weeds just go to growing, don't you? The weeds, all those things that come because of fallenness in the world. And so Paul personifies creation, and he speaks of its groaning under this bondage to sin, and it's waiting for its final resurrection of all the believers. And when the curse will be lifted, do you know one day the curse will be lifted? There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. That's something for us to look forward to. And it says, for the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Earnest expectation, or anxious longing, is what he's saying. It's a word that literally refers to watching with outstretched head and suggests standing on the tiptoes with eyes looking intently. Look, the personification of creation. Standing on its tiptoes, looking intently. For what? The resurrection of the sons of God. For it to be fulfilled. And so he personifies. Why? Verse 21. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of the corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. Because one day this old fallen world will be redeemed also. When man fell, creation fell. When God's children are redeemed, creation will be redeemed. Thus, creation stands on its tiptoes awaiting the new heavens and the new earth. So much that, look, verse 22, that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. When my children was being born, there was some pain. Okay? I wasn't in any pain, just for the record. You guys that have been in that birth room know. You don't do jack. If that doesn't make you appreciate your wife more than any, I'm serious. All I got to do was wave, look, wave a fan. And all that breathing I did in Lumaz, first thing was, don't you breathe. Okay. Just wave that hand. There was pain involved, birth pains. He talks about that. And so this baby is coming. And there's pains and it's involved with that. Guess what? I didn't take pictures of the pain. I didn't say, oh, let me capture this moment. Did I? I did not. Why? Because what did I take pictures of? That baby when it was born. That, and you know what? That pain was gone when the baby was born. The scripture talks about that. That the woman, she forgets about that pain because the baby and the child, which she has went through the pain, is delivered. And I took pictures of that moment. But what's it's precious? Listen, it's his creation. It can't, it's in that pains of childbirth. This world cannot be delivered as it is, all right? It cannot. It's just a time of groanings and pains. But one day, creation will be fit for the redeemed community. But until then, creation groans. Not only does creation groan to be delivered, but look, believers groan. Look at verses 23 through 25. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit ourselves eagerly wait for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. 2 Corinthians 5:2 says, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. Paul says, there's that word, standing on our tiptoes. We can't wait. We're looking forward to it, that we'll be clothed with the habitation from heaven. Paul understood, remember, oh wretched man that I am, he understood there was a day coming when he would be clothed with the incorruptible. We groan at the misery of the fallen bodies, which we live in a fallen world. We fall short of our own expectation. We fall short of the glory of God. Life consists of groaning. And another reason for groaning is, it says, because of the first fruits of the Spirit, the children of God. Remember last week we understood that first fruits was speaking about, it's like the engagement ring. When we're talking about getting married, we put an engagement ring. Why? Because there's something coming. He said that first fruits is just a deposit. The Holy Spirit is deposited in our soul. Why? Because there's something better coming. And we groan because of that, the future glory. The Holy Spirit is a foretaste of the glory that awaits in heaven. When we exchange this corruptible fallen body for the incorruptible, and the immortal comes to pass, no longer will we be just in time and space, but we'll be beyond time and space to the eternal, and that's being a child of God. We will never be totally free from the power of sin until that redemption takes place. In the present body. Indwelling sin takes a toll on our bodies. Listen, we get feeble and we get older, don't we? I don't know about you, but aches and pains, and you see that gravity takes its toll on us. You used to be a little taller right now, and a little shorter. How in the world am I losing inches? It's because gravity is pressing down on you. That's right. I don't know about you, but the writings get smaller and smaller, and my arms have to get longer and longer. We're getting older. And that's part of that we understand this. Indwelling sin takes a toll on our bodies. Because of fallenness, we're working towards, and one day we'll die if the Lord tarries. We all will. And so it's so important that we have that most important moment in place, and we have it all planned for, and we have Christ Jesus as our Savior, but so we can look forward. That's why He came, to redeem us and give us this hope of tomorrow, that one day when we do face death, that we have a Savior that's going to walk through that valley with us, bring us out the other side to a better place. A billion years from now, we'll be alive. Everybody in this room, by the way, lost or saved. You'll either be in heaven or you'll be in hell. But we'll all be alive. I don't know about you. There's only one choice there. That's to be in heaven with Christ. And yet we make our decisions here. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, the outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. This outward man's going to perish. I started my diet this week. I hate diets, man. I see them pizza commercials like, man, I love pizza. But you know what? If I don't watch myself, especially the older I get, the fatter I get. It doesn't matter what I like. I have to control those things. Why? Because the outward man perishes. I can add to that. You can take years off your life by your own, the way that you do and the way of your health, the way that you treat and a steward of what God's given you. And so we should take care of, we should honor the Lord with our minds, our bodies, and our soul. We should honor the Lord with all our strength, with all our mind, with all our bodies. And so I want us to think about moving in this direction, this perishing on the outside, but the inward man, it said, is being renewed day by day. What's happening to the inward man? Well, the Christian is learning how to walk in the Spirit. He's learning how to be obedient in Christ in his life, and he's working out, he's maintaining in fellowship to be more Christ-like. So he's growing. It's all right for him to grow, by the way. He's growing in Christ, so that inward man is growing, the outward man, while the outward man perishes. But when we think about the outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed, it's a verse that if we're not careful, there's a whole group of people that believe you should be like a Cheshire cat, right? Everything's so good. It don't matter what you're going through. Listen, that's not what the Scripture tells us. It tells us there are going to be suffering, there's going to be hardships, but that we have something beyond that. That can bring a smile to our face, but who wants plastic in this world today? Nobody does. Nobody wants a phony. Everybody, we need to be real. And listen, when we gather together like this in God's house, this is God's family, we should be able to be the most real people, should we not, Lee? I mean, if I'm struggling, I said, Lee, man, help me. I'm struggling here. We don't want to do that, do we? We want to act like everything's just fine. We buy into that. That's what it's supposed to look like. The truth of the matter is we're going to be suffering. We're going to go through hardships. We're going to struggle. But we have each other to get through that. We have Christ. We have His Holy Spirit. And how does the new man, how does that inner man grow? By doing that accountability, by getting with a brother or a sister and praying together and asking for help and growing in the Lord. It says verse 24, for we were saved in this hope, but the hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? Our hope is in what? It is this thing that we're looking forward to, this something in the future. We put our hope in that, and this produces in us an attitude of patience. I can put up with myself. I can put up with the fallenness of my world. Why? Because I'm patiently awaiting the redemption of the sons of God. I'm looking forward to the day. Either Christ comes or I go to be with Him. He said, we have this hope. We eagerly await. We're up on our tiptoes. We can't wait for the adoption to be complete. Not yet, but soon. Do we live that way? Or do we get caught up in the temporal? Do we get excited about just the temporal? Or do we get excited about the eternal? My goodness, church would be a little different if we got excited about the eternal as we do the temporal, let's be honest. Do you think I was like, yes, oh, praise the Lord, Tar Heels won yesterday? Yeah! Yeah! Florida State beat Duke, and we beat Florida State. Yeah!
Why can't church? Why? I mean, seriously, we get excited about sports. We get excited about everything else. Why can't church be that exciting? Say, dear Lord, I'm not talking charismatic now. I'm talking about getting exciting about what the Lord has done for us and the future hope that we have in Him. It should be the most exciting place. It should be a buzz with excitement. You might even say it. Amen, preacher. Every now and then. Come on, lady. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Get one out of it. Thank you. Creation groans. Believers groan. But look lastly in verses 26 through 27. The Holy Spirit groans. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. He says that word likewise, or in the same way, refers back to the groans of creation and of believers for redemption and from corruption and defilement of sin. He's saying the Spirit groans also within us. Because of our humanness and sin and doubt, the Holy Spirit does what? He also helps us in our weaknesses. We're weak in ourselves. None of us are spiritual superiors. We're weak, each and every one of us. You say, Well, Dave, I really don't like to pray because I don't know how to pray. Listen, you don't have to know how to pray. The Spirit does it for you. All right? You just talk to God. You just talk to God. He says, hey, He makes His intercession. Even after salvation, our life is characterized by weakness. Any good that we do is through the Holy Spirit of God. Any good. We cannot even pray, he says, correctly. We lack the awareness of God's will for our situation. Did you ever catch yourself doing that? Saying, praying a certain way and say, well, wait a minute, if it's the Lord's will. We don't know God's will in and of certain situations, and so we need help. We cannot know the purpose of God considering all of the needs of whom we pray for. We don't know those needs. Hey, Paul understood this. You say, what are you talking about? He understood these very words. You remember in 2 Corinthians when he said, I had a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that thorn in the flesh was. He said, but it was a messenger to buffet him, to keep him from being so puffed up. You know what he said? He said, I prayed three times. Take it from me, Lord. Take it from me, Lord. Take it from me, Lord. What did the Lord say? No. My grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He understood. He wasn't praying. It wasn't the Lord's will that he was to take that thorn in the flesh from him. My strength is made perfect in weakness. When we don't know, the Spirit does. So we pray, God, let your will be done in this situation. We allow the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit Himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He intercedes for us and it's personal and direct. Now this is not some static gibberish that some people make it out to be. This is a groaning between God and the Holy Spirit. By reading this, you understand the Scripture says that Christ is at the right hand of God forever making what? Intercession for us. So we have an intercessor there in heaven, but also we see here that we have an intercessor that dwells within us, guys. We have one that's here interceding for us. We have one that's there interceding for us. How good does that look? Our prayers are being heard. One makes it palatable, the other presents it. He articulates what we can. He knows the will of God. Why? Because He is God. He intercedes. His intercessions are totally beyond human comprehension. He's our advocate here, and we have an advocate there in Christ. I don't know about you, but I've been overwhelmed by situations that I couldn't even pray. So you, on Mountie Dave, I've been in your homes, and I really was just so wiped. I don't even know what I said because of situations. And overwhelming when we lose loved ones, or somebody's got the cancer, or you got all these things that happen, and sometimes I don't even know what to say. So you a preacher? Yeah, because you have emotions and you love people and you're so tied in with them. It happens, you know what? I'm so glad I have an advocate. I have an advocate that knows my situation. He knows the prayer that needs to be prayed. He takes care of it for us. don't have anything to do with our intelligence or how we can articulate. It has to do with our hope and our belief and what the Bible tells us. We have this advocate with us. Verse 27, he says, "He who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit," or what the mind of the Spirit is, "because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." God knows the heart, and he knows the mind of the Spirit. What the Spirit is thinking, he hears and answers our prayers. Lynn mentioned it in Sunday school this morning. You remember when Samuel went to Jesse's house, don't you? Looking for a new king. Pranced all them good-looking boys in front of him. Old Samuel then, just like we would, "Oh, surely this is the Lord's anointed. He stood up here high. Oh, that's the one." Nope. Called little old ruddy David in, out keeping the sheep. Didn't even think he was fit to be there. His own daddy didn't, or his brother. Marched him in and said, "This is the man." You know what he said? "I don't look at the outside." What did he say he did? "I look at the heart." I want you to know the Holy Spirit of God right now, and Christ Jesus is looking at your heart. And we can play, and we can act, and we can do all and go through the routines. He knows your heart. He knows if you're lost. He knows if you're saved. He knows if you're living the life that you pretend that you're living or not. He knows what you're looking at when it's only you and him. He knows what you're saying. He knows your work practices. Why? Because God knows the heart. Holy Spirit knows everything. How many deathbeds are we going to have to stand beside before it's our own? How many pains and sicknesses are going to wreck our old bodies before we endure and take our heavenly fire? How many? Listen. We don't have to worry about it. If your greatest fear is, "Oh, I'm getting old, I'm going to catch this or that," you don't have to worry about it. Why? Because God will take care of it. God knows the heart, and he knows the mind of the Spirit. He hears and answers our prayers. You know what we can do? We can say, "Lord, I place it just right over your hand. Let me glorify you through it. That's all that matters. I'm so glad I'm not alone." Aren't you? So glad I'm not alone. Listen, friends, nothing compares. Nothing compares to the glory that awaits his children. Nothing. Creation groans. Believers groan. The Holy Spirit groans. Look forward up on tiptoes to the day of redemption when the sons of God are redeemed. Resurrection day. Look forward to it. How about you? Applications will be done. Linda, come and start playing if you would. Is your focus on the temporal or on the eternal? Think about that. Is your life all caught up just here, paying bills, playing games, hobbies, careers, 401ks, stacking up as much as you can? Is that what your life is consist of? The Bible says, why in the world would that be everything to you when there's something so much greater? The eternal. Don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. Number two, do you long for the day that your redemption is complete? You say, "Well, Pastor Dave, just to be honest with you, I don't even think about it. I just got saved, and you know, that's good for me." When the Scripture, we see that. We see the Apostle Paul is that he was working on that inward man. He said, "It's being renewed." And there was a part of him that he looked with expectation to the day he would see his Savior again. Oh, he saw him on the road to Damascus. He looked forward to he could see him one day in heaven. What about you? Are you looking forward to that day? Got saved? Saved and satisfied. That's it. Rest of it, just who cares? I mean, that's not scriptural. None whatsoever. Lastly, are you living totally like you have the hope of tomorrow? If you have the hope of tomorrow, guess what? It'll see you through every situation you face today. What are you facing today? What is it? It might be in your life that you carried in here. Maybe nobody else even knows about it. God knows about it. And it's been a weight. You've been carrying it around for a long time. Can you live? Can you live like there's hope for tomorrow? Today? Oh, my friend. There's a future glory that that awaits us all. Don't compare. Let's stand to our feet. Not going to be long. Not going to tarry. See, that Holy Spirit, He's been checking hearts. You can deny it all you want, but you know, lost or saved, standing here this morning, you know, if you're lost, don't leave here lost. There's a day coming. It's going to be the only thing that's going to matter. You might think everything else is important, but I promise, there's a day coming. That's the only thing that's going to matter if you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. What about, you know, a person that, you know what, I've just lost focus of the eternal. I'm just trying to make it, Pastor. Just tell the Lord, you know what, Lord, I don't want my focus 2017 to be on the temporal. Help me to have an eternal focus. Help me to worship you. Help the new man to be renewed day by day. Are you living that way? When Fowler starts singing, don't hesitate. Come forward.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come.
Don't hesitate. God spoke to you. That's a lie. He'll take care of getting it straightened out if you give it to Him. Coming forward was just, you say, hey, I'm worried about what somebody thinks, whatever. Come see me. I'd love to talk to you about receiving Christ or maybe a burden. We can pray together about that. But tonight, 6 o'clock, come out. Gospel-shaped worship. What is worship? Have you ever scratching your head? Come out. We agree, a great start. Kids have something to do. There's no excuse. Maybe 2017, you just don't come on Sunday night. Don't know why. Whatever your excuse is. Maybe you can start 2017 a little different. Come on out tonight. Everything's covered, so you ain't got an excuse. You can take the Cowboys and whoever they're playing, all right? You can do that. And in fact, it might even be over. Starts at 4:30. Be close. All right, come on out. Record. Did I say what I say? Tape. Ooh, I've aged myself again. I'm really not that old, okay? It was Lee. But I love you. Listen, close us in prayer, Lee.